You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear part of an interview with a university professor talking about blended learning, courses that combine online and face-to-face learning.
Professor Yavuz, what first attracted you to blended learning?
Well, going back nearly 20 years, I was working as an associate lecturer, teaching on a module designed to inspire creative entrepreneurship. And I had an unusual group, or at least that's what I thought at the time. Attendance at lectures was dreadful, but the students would turn in brilliant work and respond instantly to any email I sent. This was a real aha moment for me. These days, emerging talent has different expectations, but we're still trying to lure students into traditionally structured courses because it's more effective for our institutions. This experience made me think outside the box and consider what parts of the course might work better online.
Is it hard to get the balance right?
The principles of blended learning are largely in place now. A large part of the material is still learned synchronously through what we call contact moments, i.e. in class, while much of the preparation and processing happens asynchronously, essentially freeing up space for higher quality interaction during those contact moments. The exact ratio is dynamic, however. There are didactic factors to consider, but also practical ones like available technology, the intensity of the course, predetermined student competencies and needs, and so on.
Extract 2. You hear a woman on a business podcast talking about spreadsheets.
It's not hard to see why the electronic spreadsheet has been such a hit. Imagine writing down individual numbers by hand in rows and columns across the double spread of an A2 ledger. The electronic spreadsheet has made it infinitely easier to manipulate data, in the process wiping out millions of jobs for desk clerks and giving birth to the world of modern finance. The problem is, though, that we've become so enchanted with spreadsheets, they've become a curse. For example, back at my first data analyst gig, I was tasked with creating a tool to track and analyse the performance of my company's suppliers. A spreadsheet was the natural choice. But once the team started using the file in their daily workflow, it quickly became bloated and burdensome to use. Sound familiar? But that's not all. As the operations got more complex, with formulas referencing other formulas, sometimes incorrectly, it got harder to trace back how some calculations were being performed. I've since learned that there are programming languages that allow for a more systematic manner of performing analytics, making it much easier to troubleshoot, and that data can be stored more sustainably through SQL databases, where it can be queried in a centralised location.
Extract 3. You hear a tour guide at a planetarium talking about how an animal inspired the design of a telescope.
Lobsters have developed a remarkable way of seeing the world. Their eyes are mounted on long stalks, and each eyeball is made up of thousands of tapered square tubes. Unlike a human eye, which relies on refraction or the bending of light, a lobster's eye reflects tiny amounts of light from a wide viewing area and then focuses them into a single image. Outside of their natural habitat, lobsters are effectively blind, but in the dark, murky water at the bottom of the sea, they can spot predators without so much as moving their heads. What does all this have to do with space, you might be wondering? Well, scientists have copied the design of the crustacean's eye to create a new type of telescope that can monitor a wider section of the sky. With this brilliantly innovative technology still in the works, scientists aim to detect X-rays emitted by marvellously rare events in the cosmos, the sort of fleeting, hard-to-capture energy unleashed when neutron stars or black holes collide. These are hard to find because we don't know their location in advance. But a lobster's eye telescope, whose eye is curved and dotted with tiny tubes, could be able to pick up X-rays coming from a wide variety of angles. Who would have ever thought a lobster would help us see into space?